Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Lots to get into this morning. As always, we'll be talking about Solskjaer's big mistakes this summer. I think there are definitely a few things positive to talk about around the transfer budget. I've got to say, I had to pick up the phone this morning. It's why I'm a little bit late and speak to somebody about this Erling Haaland stuff, because I don't know whether anybody else is feeling this, but I am bored. I am bored of this Haaland story, and I don't know whether it's being pushed by the media, I don't know whether it's being pushed by Manchester United, I don't know whether it's being pushed by Raiola. So I spoke to somebody this morning and I'll give you an update on that, because it's so contradictory and boring. And to be honest, I don't even think it's the story we should be focusing on. Just want to say a big shout out to everybody who watched my video yesterday afternoon where I went through every single goal. A few people disagreed, a few people agreed, but at least a lot of you went back and watched the goals, which is all I would ask. You know, go and do your own research. I did mine, and I think obviously these bloody blue tick journalists, they can't be asked to do that. They just want to chuck an agenda out there, don't they? So at least you've gone out and done that, and all the comments on the video, really appreciate it. That's what fan opinion's all about, and of course people have different opinions, I get that. But we're going to start off, well, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Cavani going, how much money we've got to spend, which is quite a positive, Milenkovic, dressing room issues, and obviously the Haaland latest as well. But I want to start off with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's, I think it's called Solskjaer's Huge Mistake, and this basically focuses around Lingard, David De Gea and Paul Pogba, with three separate stories coming out this morning. Obviously, Jesse Lingard's story is to do with his fantastic performance for West Ham last night. I mean, I think in eight games for West Ham, he's had eight goal contributions, six goals and two assists. He's had a massive, massive impact. And I suppose the question on Lingard straight away is, do we keep him? David De Gea, price been set. And apparently De Gea is looking for a move, which, I mean, I don't think we can blame about that. And Paul Pogba, just a little bit of an update this morning around Pogba about the fact that he is no closer to staying at Manchester United. So, I mean, effectively, I suppose the big mistake is that we get this story about Erling Haaland and Jadon Sancho and, you know, basically bullshit. To try and make us feel happy, when the reality is we could lose Lingard, De Gea and Pogba this summer. Now, some of you might say, let's lose all three. Some of you might say, lose two. And some of you might be really despairing that we're going to lose any of those three. But they're big characters in the Manchester United tapestry of the last 5 years. Now, some would say, well, the last 5 years hasn't been good enough, let's get rid of them. But have we got characters and ability like that to come through, beyond a Bruno, beyond a Rashford, beyond a Luke Shaw? I mean, should we not be keeping some of these players at the club anyway? And as I said yesterday, I think there's huge concerns now around that dressing room at Manchester United that they're going to have to repair. It feels to me, and I had people emailing me yesterday, I had people messaging me yesterday, some of them were talking arse, some of them, you know, have done it for a while, and they're saying, look, you know what, you've really hit on something there. That dressing room is toxic. There's people in that dressing room who are more vocal and have got more power than better players in that dressing room. And is that the way that Manchester United should be moving forward, where the standards have dropped so low because people who've got the big voice in the dressing room arguably aren't even good enough for the United, but they're running the dressing room? So, you know, I think that's a worrying concern as well, if that's true. But look, let's go through the three players. Lingard, for me, I think he's got to go. I think he's got to go, and I think he's got to go for the same reason he wouldn't be in my Euro 2020 squad. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But the reality is, I suppose England have got nothing to do with United. They haven't. But it sort of explains the situation with United in a way. I wouldn't take Lingard to the Euros if Foden, Grealish and Mount were fit, and Sancho, because I would rather take those than Lingard. And I think Lingard's really unlucky, because normally you'd take him to the Euros. But I think those players are better, in my opinion. And some people will agree. So bringing it to Manchester United, I think that Van der Beek, I think that Bruno, I think obviously Rashford, Greenwood, and potentially you've got people like Hannibal coming through as well. I think Lingard's time at United is time to go. And there's two things here, really. And I put it onto Lingard. I think Lingard needs to go. I think Lingard's going to miss out on the Euros because he didn't have a full season at West Ham, ultimately. And I think coming back to Manchester United and sitting on our bench as a bit part player, because that's what you will be, isn't good for Lingard. And I know I'm enjoying what he's doing. I'm really pleased for him. But I was sat there watching it last night and I was like, I can see two big problems here. One, you've got the Twitter bloody fickle fans who are like, get Jesse back. I can't believe. I mean, some idiots even said, I can't believe Ollie got rid of Lingard and he's got Dan James running on the wing. And I'm like, do you actually know anything about football, or are you just talking out your arse? Because Dan James plays on the wing because he's a winger. Jesse Lingard's not a winger. Jesse Lingard's a number 10. So where are you going to play Jesse Lingard? He's going to end up on the bench again, and then he's not going to play. And he's going to get half an hour, and he's going to give the ball away, and people are going to say, we should have sold him in the summer. I can see it a mile off. Lingard's had his chances at United, and people don't want him here. They think we can find a place for him on the wing. He ain't a winger. He's a number 10. He's an attacking midfielder. We haven't got a spot for him, unless you're going to drop Bruno. Like, it's not going to happen. And also, what have we said about Lingard for a very, very long time? He's a very good player when he spins into space. You don't get that space in a top six side. Teams sit deep against United. Lingard yesterday, both goals he was involved in, and the one he scored anyway, was spin and run into space. We don't get to do that against teams because teams don't overcommit against us. They know what we're like and they'll hit us, they stick low. And that's when Jesse becomes a problem. So for me, unless he's happy to sit on the bench and hardly play, which in which case, fine. For me, there's a player that's probably worth 25 million there, and we need the money to spend elsewhere. So for me, it's a business decision. It's a good decision for Jesse. I think he will play first team football at a good team next year, but I think we've got to move him on. GGNX says, promote Garner, trust Donny, swap Pogba for Ronaldo, buy Andre Silva, Koundé and a right back, solid window. I worry about James Garner, really. Fantastic performance again for Forest yesterday. I do worry about what we're going to do with him. We're going to overhype him. We're going to bring him back. And as we know with Ollie, he won't play him anyway. He'll end up with, you know, five or six cameo performances over a whole season. Won't play anyway, but we'll be sold in the summer that we've got Garner and we don't need a midfielder. And then we won't use him because he doesn't use young players. Even Greenwood hasn't been used as much as he could have been used. It's in and out with Ollie, or not used at all. Look at Twansebi, look at Williams. So I wouldn't trust Ollie to bring Garner back next year as this player that's going to be ready. I want to see Garner on loan again next year. I want to see him playing. I don't want to see him lose a year of his development whilst he sits on our bench. So I don't want to see that happen with Garner, to be honest, because I don't trust Solskjaer to use him enough. I think he'd be just a little cameo player. Your Grand Theft Auto videos are hilarious. Please keep doing them, says Henry James. Thank you very much. The next one is David De Gea. So David De Gea, story this morning in the Mail, so take it with a pinch of salt, that United would want 50 million for David De Gea, but they're concerned about the wages of 350k. They've got no chance. And I heard Jay on the show last night, fantastic show last night from everybody who was on it and the comments as well. We ain't getting 50 million for David De Gea. No way. We're not going to get 50 million for David De Gea. Forget it. Like, this is the big, you know, it's almost like, some fans get Henderson in goal and say, sell De Gea. And now they start talking about selling him and they realise what we've been talking for about all season. I said this last summer. If you go with Henderson, you screw yourself over financially. Because what are you going to do with a £50 million goalkeeper who's on 350k a week? How are you going to remove that person from your squad without taking a huge hit? And one way or the other, we're taking a hit. We either pay his wages off, which is 20, 30 million, or we sell him on the cheap and let somebody take his wages on, which is a loss of 20, 30 million. So we're going to lose about 20, 30 million on De Gea this summer if he goes. And it's looking likely. I mean, the story is now that, you know, De Gea is not happy and is having to look for another club, which is his natural reaction. He can't say, I'm going to stay here and fight for my place when he's lost his place for no reason at all. So, you know, he's got to go. I agree with that. It's interesting because I was thinking about this last night, the De Gea thing, and actually the warning signs were there, weren't they? We've made so many changes to the coaching staff, the goalkeeping coaching staff over recent years as well. So I think that, you know, that's inevitable and it's going to be a big mistake. It may not be Dean's fault about what's happening, but if De Gea leaves like this, then I'm not sure I'll be able to respect Dean the same as De Gea. I'll back Dean, obviously, but won't be able to love him, says Anarud. I won't have a problem with that, Anarud. I don't have a problem with that. I don't actually think Dean Henderson wanting to be Manchester United's number one is a problem. I think it's an asset. I think it's a good trait to have. Some people say he comes across as very arrogant. But I think as a goalkeeper, I've played football, I'm sure you have, you've got to have that weirdness about you, arrogance about you, whatever you want to call it. You have to have that because goalkeeping is very, very different. And you've got to believe in yourself because confidence is a big part of being a goalkeeper. I don't blame him at all. I don't blame him at all. I think he's a very, very good goalkeeper. I think the club have created this situation. And I think Solskjaer's managed it badly. And I think that's where my frustration comes from. And whatever's going on in the dressing room is a disgrace. But there we go. Lingard's time is up, but there's no excuse for Ollie not to have used him a lot more at the start of the season. I think I'd agree with you on that, Thomas, to be fair. It's crazy West Ham are top six side, so it wouldn't be a bad idea to move to West Ham, especially when they're actually building something exciting, says MG. Yeah, and I think at someone like West Ham, even if they finished in the top four this year, next year, teams won't park the bus against West Ham. They'll still open up. And that's Lingard needs to play in the highest team possible in the Premier League that the opposition open up against. Like, if he goes and plays at Arsenal, if he goes and plays at, Chelsea or Spurs, teams will sit back and there won't be space. Lingard needs to play in a team where there's space. A bit like Dan James, really. Dan James at Leeds would work well because teams open up against Leeds. Mark, I keep seeing these posts about ex-players and how well they do once they leave. Even ESPN bantered us about it. Seems like we're being targeted a bit by the mainstream media right now. Idiots, mate. They're idiots. You know, as I said, you can't compare Lingard doing well for West Ham and say do well for United. Because, I mean, these people make a living. They get paid to write these articles or be pundits. And they're idiots, to be honest. I mean, like, is it not one of the core principles to actually look at the way a game is played? Like, if West Ham play against Wolves and Wolves open up and there's space, that's going to suit Lingard. If Lingard plays for Manchester United at Old Trafford against Burnley and Burnley don't open up, that's not going to help him, is it? But Burnley might play West Ham and have a go and it opens up. It's always about the game you're playing. And Dan James is a great example. Dan James doesn't suit United because he has to play against the low block a lot. If he goes and plays for Leeds, there'll be space to run into, like there was when he played against Leeds. Jesse has had many good performances for United against teams in the top six because there's a lot of counter-attacks and that is all that West Ham do, says Jacob. I think you might want to watch a bit more football, Jacob. We are a counter-attacking team, but lots of teams sit deep against us. And this has been look, Lingard's doing great at the moment, but I've been doing this show for well over 5 years. I've done so many match reactions, so many watch-alongs. I know what people say about Lingard. And one of the big things they say is that if he can't spin and turn into space, he becomes quite redundant because he's a bit of a sideways passer. So, you know, I think Lingard needs to leave for his own good, really. I hear so many fans saying De Gea isn't good enough, but there's no difference between the two. So does that mean we need another goalkeeper? Says Thomas T. I don't know. And then finally on Paul Pogba, again, coming out, I think this is coming out of the Manchester Evening News, again, that Paul Pogba is no closer to signing a new contract at United and the desire really is still to leave. So, look, I think that Lingard will go, that's probably right. De Gea, I think, is a mistake. And Pogba going is a mistake as well. Losing three players like that, I would say definitely two of them are a big, big loss. What are we going to do to replace that? It feels to me, and this is only my opinion here, it feels to me that like United are moving in the wrong direction. I think there's a big mistake coming round the corner. I almost think like Solskjaer might be right in his own sacking notes because I don't see an improvement in the play. And I look at the summer and I'm really worried about the mistakes we're going to make. We are going to remove winners like De Gea and Pogba. One unwillingly, one willingly. And I think I don't trust that dressing room. I've said this so many times as well. I almost had to remind myself before I went live. And I'm going to give you the Haaland update now. I don't trust this dressing room. I haven't trusted it for a very long time. I remember the last game of the season. I think Solskjaer was in charge. Was it Cardiff or someone like that when we lost? Or Huddersfield or something like that. It was the season Ollie got his job. He got the job in the end of March and we finished the season terribly. We got battered by Everton at Goodison and the season was terrible. And I remember saying at the end of the season, I just do not trust this dressing room. They can win three for 3 months and then they'll bottle it. There's something intrinsically lost in that dressing room around mentality. Because they can do something for 3 months, but they can't sustain it. There's something wrong with that dressing room. And I don't know whether it's the coaching, I don't know whether it's the players, but there's something wrong. And here we are, how many years later? 2 years later, and I'm still sat here going, there's huge question marks about that dressing room. There are leaks in there, which is snaky. There are all these sorts of stories. The results are fantastic, and we are second in the league, but are we doing? Is that because of good football? Is that because of circumstance? Is just something not right there? And I feel that we are in a situation where I think next season's going to be the acid test, and I worry about what we're going to lose. And I personally think the loss of Paul Pogba is not going to give much there. There's a tweet just coming out here from Jonathan Schrager, who does get leaks from Manchester United. He says, Man United's plan to give David De Gea Man United plan to give David De Gea a payoff to leave in the summer. He never has never been proposed to David by the club. A source close to the player tell. Sorry, Man United's plan to give De Gea a payoff to leave in the summer, as suggested in latest reports, has never been proposed to David by the club. A source close to the player tells me he doesn't mind the competition and will vie for his place. He is currently thinking beyond this summer. Well, look, if there's any truth in that, I really hope that that is true. I felt that something had to come out. But again, it's coming from another dressing room source, isn't it? You know, there's so many leaks at that football club. And that's a positive leak, potentially. But there's so many leaks coming out. And I'm like, there's just a lack of respect in that football club. And I think a lot of it comes from the owners. I don't think there's a lot of respect for the owners within that football club. But going back to what I was saying there, I mean, look, there might be some positivity around David De Gea there, which is good. But going back to what I was saying there, I think that Solskjaer's got to try and resolve the problems he's got in that dressing room before he starts trying to add other players in. Because, you know, you could bring Sancho in but lose Pogba, De Gea and Lingard. And that's like, well, that's great. And everyone's always going to focus on the new shiny toy. But what, especially in relation to Pogba, what are you going to lose with Paul Pogba? Ollie's playing to the media and protecting the weaker players. This is causing even more unrest in the team. The delusion of progress is real. And I haven't trusted the dressing room since the infamous sacked in the morning dialogue between Phil Jones and Ed, says Nick P. Look, let me just give you the update on Haaland, because this fits in quite nicely. So there's two stories this morning. The Athletic are saying that Manchester United have cooled their interest in Haaland as they focus on a centre-back and a right-winger. But the Manchester Evening News are saying that no, Solskjaer and Murtagh have agreed mutually that Haaland is the priority. Now, what is the truth in this? I'm bored of it. I'm bored of this story already, right? But it's a news show, so I've got to talk about it. So I spoke to someone this morning about this and I said, look, what is the truth around Erling Haaland? Because as a fan, I'm frustrated, and we run a fan channel, and I'm sure most people who watch our show are getting frustrated. There's so much contradiction about Haaland. And what I was told is that basically Manchester United are obsessed with Haaland. I mean, everybody in the industry knows that. And it is true that Manchester United want Haaland. However, most people in the industry think it's a joke, think it's funny, because United can't do this deal. However, what I was told is United's fantasy is to chuck a load of money at Mino Raiola and get him to keep Pogba and bring Haaland to United on some weird, paper the cracks and fill in all the gaps and previous issues, and basically just chuck as much money as possible at Mino Raiola to make Pogba stay and bring Haaland to United. And that's the plan. Look, I want Pogba to stay and Erling Haaland to be a very good player, but I worry about what United are doing. I mean, it makes me worry about Solskjaer again, to be honest with you. I mean, at the weekend, he disappointed me with what he did with the goalkeeping situation. And I just wonder if he's picking names out of a hat or something. I don't know what he's doing. I really don't. I don't know. I mean, look, you can't say that keeping Pogba and signing Haaland is a bad thing. That's the sort of thing Real Madrid do. But how much money would we be spending to do that? I mean, how is this even logical? Like, I mean, some people would say we shouldn't be giving Raiola anything, let alone the tens of millions of pounds he'd get for a Pogba new contract and Haaland to come to United. And let's not forget, Haaland wouldn't stay at United for 10 years. He'd be here for 3 years. And most of that would be disruptive from Raiola saying, yeah, he's doing really well, he wants to go to Real Madrid next. So you've got to say it's a really weird move by Manchester United to have this Erling Haaland obsession, knowing he's 20 years of age or 19 or 20, and in 3 years' time he'll be moving again. It's really weird for a club that's meant to be building out that doesn't have a lot of money. But look, that's what I was told, is that, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous that United will keep Pogba and sign Haaland, but that's the plan from United, and chuck a load of money at Raiola and it might happen. Mark, would you rather both keepers stay and the goalkeeping problem is still there, or De Gea leave, says Ross Gunn? Mate, I think the problem needs to be solved in the summer. I don't want both goalkeepers here next year. My problem is the way it's been dealt with now. It should have been dealt with in the summer. So I've got no problem with a goalkeeper leaving. What happens if Haaland comes in and breaks his leg? 150 million down the drain on one player, says Ben Anderson. But about 200 million, actually, Ben, when you take into account the fact that you'd have to pay his dad and Raiola. Hi, Mark. Can you wish my mate Matteo happy birthday? Italian, dedicated to United stand and loves Luke Shaw. So many parallels. Happy birthday. And not far off my birthday, Nicholas, as well. So happy birthday, Matteo. Hope you're doing well. So yeah, I mean, look, the Haaland thing, my personal take on the Haaland thing is I'm bored. I'm bored of it. I don't really want him. I would be disgusted if we spent £175 million on Haaland, because I'd be like, right, we could have got Koundé, Declan Rice and Sancho for that. So, you know, we could have built a team instead of one player. And look, I know, I totally get it. Cavani's going to leave. We need a striker. And why would you not want the best striker in the world? But at what point does a manager not look at the situation? You do it when you're playing FIFA or Football Manager. I'm sure Dan does it when he's managing the Dog and Duck on a Sunday morning. If you need a striker, do you spend everything you've got on the world's best striker? Or do you actually look at the holes in your team and try and build a team? And that's my issue here. When are we going to try and build a football club instead of trying to sell shirts? Because it makes no sense to me. And, you know, are United hanging around for a Haaland deal hoping that everyone else drops out? Because Man City have more or less dropped out because financially they think it's stupid. And look, is there not a warning sign there? Pep pulled out the Fred deal because he didn't think it was worth it. He pulled out the Sanchez deal because he didn't think it was worth it. If they're pulling out the Haaland deal because they don't think it's worth it, are United going to learn the lesson to not be the team that think it is worth it, you know? No, we won't, because we'll just go ahead and do it. So, yeah, I mean, look, we do need a striker. We do need a striker. And I do agree with that, but I'm bored of this Haaland thing. And again, it seems to be being pushed by one particular outlet relentlessly, obsessively, and other outlets are a little bit more realistic about it. But United are definitely interested. I can't deny that. We are definitely interested, almost obsessed by this deal. But, I mean, I will be... I don't even know what I will be. If we spend £175 million on the package to get Haaland to Manchester United, my mouth will just drop. It really will. Mark, can you please play Grand Theft Auto, Jane? Played it last night, not playing it for a couple of days now. So there we go. Rashford is the leak. He's Mr. PR, says Daniel C. And I don't think anybody knows who the leak is, so I don't think we can really speculate about the leak. Some people were saying it was Michael Carrick the other day. I mean, why would an assistant coach disrupt Manchester United Football Club? Because he'll lose his job. It's not going to be a coach, is it? So, yeah, I can't see that happening. Just on the transfers, by the way, there was a story this morning that I would bring as a positive news story, which is that Manchester United have not been impacted by COVID but anywhere near as much as other clubs because of the business that's been done by Ed Woodward. Now, this is obviously a Woodward self-promotion article, but it benefits us because... Manchester United are apparently in a position this summer to be able to spend and spend well. Well, look, I mean, we don't know the figure of what we're going to spend and spend well, but I mean, £100 million is still a good transfer budget in the world that we live in. Unfortunately, £100 million isn't enough for what we need to spend, but it's still a lot of money. So you look, we are going to spend money this transfer window. I think there's no doubt about that. How we spend it is going to be very, very, very easy. Imagine if Solskjaer found out Carrick was the leak, by the way. Cavicky, I can't believe you're the leak. I can't believe you're the leak, Cavicky. But it won't be Michael Carrick. I mean, I don't know who the leak is. I don't really want to know who the leak is, to be honest, because the whole point of being a leak is that you don't get found out, do you? But there are people putting... I mean, Jonathan Schrager's done it this morning. Fair play to him at the weekend. He said, I'm not going to leak team news anymore because I've had a bit of feedback from fans saying that, you know, it can give the opposition an advantage. But he gets stuff. There's quite a few people who get stuff leaked out there. So it's not good, is it? It's not good. But, you know, I think throwing names out there isn't really going to help at the end of the day. What United need to do is deal with it because... you know, the sad thing is we're second in the league. We've got a quarter final on Thursday. A lot of things to be positive about, but still there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of trust in those players. My personal opinion, and this is only, you know, you can only give an opinion on your on what you feel. I feel that there's a lot of people in that club who are just protecting themselves. And I'm not talking about just players here. There's a lot of things going on in that club. I would even say to the way that we're playing football, it's a bit of an arse-covering exercise, basically. I feel like that's what we're doing. We're not I don't think we're existing as Manchester United Football Club at the moment. I think we're just we're grinding. I feel like we're nothing like Manchester United Football Club. The standards are not there. They're not. I mean, I got a great email today from somebody, and they said this, and they were like, you know, the whole point of progress is to improve. People are celebrating progress, and the club is selling as progress, and Solskjaer is selling as progress, and our captain and players are coming out and selling as progress. But is progress not improving on what happened before? We've not won a trophy. Mourinho won two. We're second in the league. Mourinho finished second in the league. He got 81 points. We won't get 81 points. Mourinho's team was arguably better than the team that Solskjaer's got. Mourinho's team was arguably playing as good football as Solskjaer's. Where is the progress? But it's celebrated as progress. But is it progress? And are United fans having the wool pulled over their eyes? Because actually progress is meant to be improvement. And where is the improvement? We've done this before. We've played like this before. And yet we're being told it's progress. And I suppose that's quite an interest. It's not my point. It came from an email. It's not. It's quite good. It's quite a well put point, isn't it? Is it progress? Because progress is meant to be improving on what went before. I don't see any better football than Mourinho. We're second in the league like Mourinho was 3 years ago. And yet we're being told it's progress. As I said, somebody would say in the live comments now, how can you say that, Goldbridge, and not be Ollie out? Well, because 3 years ago, I wasn't Mourinho out either. You know, I'm consistent. There was a lot of people who were beginning to be Mourinho out, even when we were second 3 years ago, for the reasons they're Ollie out now. I wasn't. I said, well, let's see what happens in the summer. And it didn't happen. And then the following season, it all went to shit. I became Mourinho out after the West Ham game. He was sacked 2 months later. So, you know, for me, I suppose you're a creature of habit. I've always said give him till the summer because I know I just felt that this was going that way. And then I think what I've also said is I wouldn't be surprised if he's sacked by Christmas the way things are going. So, but yeah, I mean, in the general picture, is it progress? I mean, only you know that. Hi, Mark. Could the leak be Romero after the way he's been treated by the club, says Jacus? I don't think Romero's in the dressing room, though, mate. I don't think Romero's in the dressing room to leak the team news. Romero's not been involved in any matchday squads. So, you know, you've got to be very careful about chucking. I mean, everyone was saying it was Harry Maguire yesterday. Why is it Harry Maguire? Because he's the captain and he's English. You know, you don't know who it is. You don't know who it is. It could be your favourite player. But just on centre-backs, by the way, Milenkovic again being linked to Manchester United. I mean, he's cheap. His wages are cheap. He's a good centre-back. But I think you're just going to end up with, instead of Maguire and Lindelof, Maguire and Milenkovic with exactly the same problems, because I like Milenkovic, but I see similarities to Maguire. I don't see that recovery pace. I don't see that complementary player to play next to Harry Maguire, which United are looking for. So, yeah. I mean, Pogba can stay, by the way. I just want to say Pogba can definitely stay. He has got to try and find a move. He doesn't want to stay. Pogba doesn't want to stay at United. He wants to go. And who can blame him, really? I mean, really, who can blame him? Because if we're sat here saying, where's the progress? Paul Pogba will know what the progress is. He will know what's going on. He'll be party to conversations we're not party to. He will know what United's plans are this summer. And, you know, maybe that's why he wants to go. But it's whether he can get somebody to buy him. Joshua Harper says, you're the one saying it's progress, Mark. You say give Ollie until May, but you're saying give him the transfer window, which isn't even open in May. You're sort of being a bit pedantic there, Joshua. I've read an email out. I didn't say that was my words. And also, I mean, where do you want to draw the line? I've said give him till May, but then you're saying give him the transfer window. If we finish in the top four, which we will, that's May. And then he's not going to get sacked, so it's start of next season. I mean, look, all right, for Joshua Harper, I'm saying let's give him till next season. Because ultimately, well, no, actually, I am actually saying give him till May. Because if we don't get top four, I think he should be sacked. But he will get top four, and therefore he'll come into next season. So actually, it's not that hard to work out, Joshua. I think you are being a bit pedantic there. Probably got out the wrong side of the bed. Cavani off, which we've discussed as well. 80 million spent on Maguire, and you want another defender to complement him. What a load of bollocks, says Ebong. Well, again, I don't really understand what you're saying there. Because we made a mistake spending £80 million on Harry Maguire, we shouldn't go and try and rectify that mistake. I mean, how does that work? You know, I get home from HMV. Don't even think it's open anymore. I think I've bought the Best of Queen album, and actually, I've bought Scissor Sisters. I'll just put it in. I've wasted my money. And I'll go back to the shop and I'll buy that. I might even like Scissor Sisters as well. So, you know, I'm not going to not go and buy a centre-back when we need a centre-back just because we spent £80 million on it. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. And look, I firmly believe that Harry Maguire has played particularly well since Christmas. And, you know, to be fair, he played well against Brighton. I got a lot of stick, actually, because I gave him an average 6. And people were like, oh, he's at least a 7. And I was like, well, no, I gave him an average 6. I thought he played quite well. But the reality is, if Danny Welbeck was more composed, that's Maguire's fault. And we've probably lost the game. And everyone's saying Maguire's crap. So you can't ignore a moment in the game where Maguire loses his striker. That's why I gave him an average 6. But in general, I think he's been good this season. Good this since Christmas. Terrible before Christmas, but good since Christmas. And I've always said that when Harry Maguire plays with a better partner, whether it's Eric Bailly or John Stones, he looks even better. So we do need to buy a centre-back. I hope the next manager knows how to run the dressing room like a boss and not be gullible coward like Ollie, says Alpha Shark. Man United have had dressing room issues for quite a while, to be fair. If I was Manchester United manager, as I'm sure many of you would be, I would walk into that dressing room and I would find out who these people are and I would remove them from the football club. But you might have to remove 5 or 6 players. But I think some of these people who are doing this, you probably wouldn't miss them from the United team anyway because they're actually not the best players in the team. Silas at Stuttgart is a player I think we should be looking at. Top talents is AJ Flores. And Milenkovic and Tuansebe partnership after Ollie gets sacked, says James. Well, I think Tuansebe's going to have to leave, isn't he? I mean, I don't want to go over old ground. It's not UK gold, but I don't understand. I mean, Haider official says maybe the leakers are Tuansebe and Williams. I mean, I've got no evidence to say that it is them, but what I have got evidence to suggest is that the way they've been treated this season is very, very badly. Young players losing a year in your career. I mean, if you think about it, an average footballer's career is what, 10, 12 years? So 10% of Williams and Tuansebe's career has been wasted this year. And they've both been fit and they've hardly played. I mean, that's poor. That's very, very poor. Especially when our defence has been vulnerable. I mean, like, as I said yesterday, I think Wan-Bissaka's cost us about 5 goals this year. And that's not chances people have missed. Let's not forget, it's not always goals. You know, there's sometimes a goalkeeper makes a great save or a striker or a winger misses a good chance. We've had that happen a lot this season. So, you know, it's not even just goals. I mean, how many mistakes have our centre-backs and full-backs cost us where teams should have scored? So Wan-Bissaka should have been, you know, not playing as many games as he has because I think he gets overplayed as well. Tuansebe and Williams could both play that position. So I think that's one of my disappointments of the season, really. Which is why I'm worried about Garner. People are like, oh, get Garner in. He's having a madness in the Championship. Do you think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to bring Garner in because he's played well for Forest in the Championship and play him as CDM every week? He won't do that. He'll stick him on the bench. He'll say, watch McTominay and Fred for a year. And that's not developing young players, is it? Very easy to develop Mason Greenwood because Mason Greenwood is a generational talent, in my opinion. But who else has been developed under Ollie over the last 2.5 years as a young player at United? Who else has been given consistently game time other than Mason Greenwood, who wasn't getting game time already, considering Rashford and McTominay were previous managers? Greenwood is the one, isn't it, really? Williams did come through last year, but hasn't been used this year. And yet, we're a club that's all about the youth. We're all about the youth. But they don't... I mean, look, even Diallo's hardly been used, has he? So, James Graham says, Rashford, you prat. You might want to check your history, mate. Marcus Rashford made his debut under Louis van Gaal. That was 2 managers ago, you twat. Bloody Rashford. McTominay came through under Mourinho. So, you know, we're talking about players that Ollie has brought through. Greenwood. Williams last year, but didn't get through. And Rashford can't be considered youth anymore. He's been in the team for a long, long time. Isn't Garner also a generational talent, says Varun. I think he is. But do you trust him to start games in the midfield? I think, as I said before, it's much easier. You think about Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney. It's easier to play teenage wingers and strikers than it is to drop in a teenage centre-back and CDM. And that's what you're asking to do with Garner. And I just don't... I think if Ollie's got a choice next season between Garner, Fred, Matic and McTominay, I think Garner's going to be the fourth choice option. Whose fault is it for these poor decisions? Whose fault is it for the dressing room unrest? Are you ready to talk about Ollie or the dinner ladies, says Abdullah Majid. And we should try to buy Koundé from Sevilla, says Jack Twan. Dan James isn't our youth. And what do you think of Fatty? I don't think he'll be coming to United. And I think some people need to understand what youth of Manchester United is. You know, it's basically what I'm talking about is a young player that comes through under a manager and they give him the debut and they give him the game time. You can't include Rashford in that when his debut was under Van Gaal and he played pretty much every week since then. And you can't include McTominay, who was brought through by Mourinho. So you've got to, Greenwood you can improve and Williams you could use, but Williams hasn't been used this season, so it's not really been developed, has he? So it's Greenwood, who is a generational talent, who any manager would use. Matic, Mata, Dan James and McSauce, they all operate via walkie-talkies and leak dressing room interest to Ricky, who's in the car park waiting, says Nick P. Well, if anyone, Dan James should be leaking to Ricky. Bloody hell, he runs his fan club. Are you doing a watch-along tonight? Yes, I'm doing... we'll be doing United Stand at 7 o'clock tonight. JR says, show Retire, Henderson, Greenwood and Williams. Yeah, but how many games have those played? I mean, Henderson will count. Henderson will count. Of course he will, but... Do you include goalkeepers? Everything is fantastic and nothing is wrong. Everyone's amazing. Happy now, says Robin. And Dan James is picking up a bit of form, to be fair. Yeah, I was... I mean, look, Ricky was not happy that he didn't get picked at the weekend. Joseph says, I know Ollie's going to be here next year, but his mismanagement of Axel, Donny, etc. proves he's not a United manager. Look, on Ollie, I back Ollie, as you know. And he will be manager next year. And I think that I understand the frustrations. I have those frustrations. I said at the weekend, Ollie lost a little bit of me at the weekend in the way he did that De Gea thing. It doesn't matter. You know, what does my opinion matter over anybody else's? And why should Solskjaer give a shit about that? He won't do. He won't even be aware of it. But I can only be honest. Did he lose enough of me to be Ollie out? No. We're second in the league. I'm very excited about the Europa League. And I really hope he picks De Gea on Thursday night. But the reality is, what we've already got top four. He will get a new contract and next season he's got to deliver more than he's delivered this year. He needs a good summer to do that. And as I said, I think this summer is a very dangerous summer. I think if you remove people like David De Gea and Paul Pogba from that squad, you leave yourself weaker in the dressing room and on the pitch. But Solskjaer's making a mistake if he does that. And look, it's his mistake if he can't keep these players at the club. Like, people say, well, how does he keep Paul Pogba at the club? He's had Paul Pogba. People forget about Pogba. Ollie's been here 2.5 years. If Pogba leaves, he's not leaving United. He's not leaving United fans. He's not leaving Ollie. He's leaving all of us. If Ollie's not been able to convince Pogba about his contract in the last 2.5 years, then that's on Ollie, isn't it? And, you know, you can't come up and say, well, Ollie couldn't do anything about it. He's been here 2.5 years with Pogba and he's not been able to convince him to stay. So that reflects on all of us. So Pogba leaving reflects on the manager and the club. So it's a big player to lose. You said yesterday we don't create chances for our front three. It's our wide players that are actually supposed to create chances for our number nine, says Joshua Harper. I'm struggling with what you mean, Joshua. You said yesterday we don't create chances for our front three. It's our wide players that are actually supposed to create chances. I think you're wrong there again. Renate, thanks for the sticker. And if you're happy with Ollie, then don't cry when we lose another semi-final. Don't cry when Bruno wants to leave because of the lack of ambition. Abdullah, you're moving into the future. You're moving into the future. You know, no fan who backs Ollie now can't cry if Bruno leaves in a year and a half. Some fans who back Ollie now might not back him in 6 months. They can cry if they want to. Some fans that don't back Ollie now might back him in 6 months. They doesn't mean they can't celebrate when we win. Your opinion will change based on what on evidence is in front of you. And right here, right now, some people have made one decision one way or the other, but it can change. I think for a lot of people, they're looking at what's going to happen next year. They're looking at what's going to happen in the summer before they make their mind up. But, you know, there is definitely arguments for both ways. Just going back to what Joshua Harper said there, I've said this so many times, I'm going to bore people. This is not about, we don't create chances for our strikers because we haven't got wingers. That's not true. It's a factor, but it's not true. We don't create chances for our striker because the way we play football is flawed. We don't move the ball quickly from back to front. It's very, very simple. I don't know whether I can do it on here. Let's have a look. Yeah, so look, let me... So the ball is here with United with this back six, right? The opposition, if you move that ball quickly into Bruno and you bypass... Look, say Brighton are on the attack, right? Brighton are all round here. Lindelof gets the ball into McTominay. He spins and knocks it into Bruno. Brighton can't be back in position. Bruno's got space. He can move it. He could get it wide to Dan James, who can run down the line and cross it in. Same with Rashford. He could slip Greenwood in. What United do is, Maguire's got it. Fred and McTominay get it. They'll go sideways. And Brighton move back. Their whole team moves back. So then suddenly, if you do find Bruno, he's got two shields of eight in there. Doesn't matter how good your winger is. You're asking them to get past two players and whip across into the box where there's four players. You've got to move the ball quickly from back to front. Lindelof and Maguire give it to McFred and they don't move it quick enough. And that's why we don't create chances. You know, we could get the ball to our wingers, but the way, this is the whole thing about a deep block. It's not a deep, we don't struggle against the low block. That's a bit of a myth. We don't struggle against the low block. We create the low block because we don't move the ball. Like, I could be the manager of Burnley, I could be manager of Arsenal. If I play against Manchester United, I'm not sending my players out to park the bus. What I'm saying is, when Man United get the ball, get back into position. That's not a low block. That's just getting back into position, which is getting everybody behind the ball and waiting for them to come at you. And then you get the ball and then you attack the way you want to do it. We don't not create chances for our number nine because our wingers don't put crosses in. I think we do need better wingers, but even if you had Sancho off one wing and Perisic off the other wing, if you don't give them the ball quick enough, they've got a very hard job to find to get past two players and then put the perfect cross in onto the head. You score and create chances through space. You create space by moving the ball quickly from back to front and actually playing a forward pass. And our back six has been pretty poor at it, which is why Pogba coming back is so important. Mark, Liverpool and City are playing against banks of four every week. They don't move back to front quickly. They just break teams down with better players. Bullshit, Joshua. And Mark, how many times have you seen Liverpool... And maybe not this season, but and maybe that's why Liverpool are struggling. How many times have you seen Liverpool running at a back four or five and that their defence is all over the place? Man City are very different. Man City don't care. Man City will just play tiki-taka football. Yeah, I agree with you on Man City. But Man City can hit teams on the break. But Liverpool don't necessarily do that. And of course, look, if you're playing against the low block, if you've got better footballers... and they do play a low block, sometimes you'll have to, then you've got to pass your way through it, and we haven't got the players to do that either. But Man City are very one-touch. They will knock it into Sterling, he'll play it to Foden, they'll play one-touch. What do? We get the ball, we do a little pirouette on the ball, we write our shopping list on the ball, but even Bruno will take two touches and play a pass sideways now. Like, we are so lethargic. There's no quick movement. We're not quick enough on the ball. We don't move the ball quick enough, full stop. Whether it's your scenario or not. Mark, as per transfer market, if we're in fifth in the Premier League in terms of market value per player and we are second, aren't we overachieving, says Varun. Joshua says, it's not about speed. You're talking about counter-attacking goals, which are relevant, but ultimately we need better ball players. It's clear. I disagree with you, Joshua. I've just explained to you. I don't know what is wrong with you this morning, but I disagree with you. And I think you're taking it... I don't think you're understanding what many of us have been talking about for a long time. We move the ball too slowly. If you've got McTominay and Fred taking a touch and passing it sideways, that's better players, yes, but also you need to move the ball quicker. I don't know whether you've played football. I think most people have. It's hard to defend against a team that takes one touch. It's hard to defend against a team that moves the ball quick and fast and forward. And that's not counter-attacking, that's general play. How much, even at the weekend, how much against Brighton did you see Man United going side to side to side to side to side? There's not enough punching of the ball, first touch, forward play, pass and move. It's not happening enough. Of course, on the counter-attack, we can do that. But We don't move the ball quickly enough from back to front. We allow oppositions to get organised, and that makes our job harder. And then we end up going side to side to side for the reason you said, because we haven't got good enough players. Do we actually have the right players to play the way we want to see United play? How can we criticise the team if we don't have the players of that ability, says Steve Locke? We don't have the right players, but we don't have the right approach at the moment. And as Zach says, the system doesn't work, if there is a system, which I think there is. I disagree. Somebody said we didn't move the ball quickly enough until the second half. I don't think we played well in the second half. I really don't. There was people saying, oh, we needed that kick up the arse at half time. I don't think we played well in the second half. I think we dominated the ball, but how many clear-cut chances did we create? Greenwood wins it at the end, and the goal we score is because Brighton made a mistake. I don't remember putting Brighton on the back foot, really. We just had a lot of the ball. So I don't think we played well against Brighton. I think it was a very good result, but I don't think there was a kick up the arse at half time like some people think. I think you can get fooled by the fact that we won the game, so we had a kick up the arse. I mean, even players were coming out and saying, "Oh, there was a few choice words in the dressing room." We didn't create many chances in the second half. We probably created about the same chances as we did in the first half. We kept hold of the ball better, but a lot of the ball was side to side to side to side. And yeah, I agree with Josh. We do need better players, definitely. I mean, we definitely do, but we also need a little bit of better ethos, I suppose, in relation to what we're trying to do. You can set that in the way that you play. Look, you know, there's all these meetings, there's all these tactical meetings, you know, there's the dressing room. You basically say, I want the tempo. I want the tempo up. I don't want people getting onto the ball, looking sideways and passing the ball and then getting it back 2 minutes later as it goes around the back four. I want movement. I want pass and move. If you can do a one touch, great. But I don't want any of this side to side stuff. I want us to push teams back. I want teams to have to make mistakes. And I don't think we're doing that very well at the moment. But maybe we're playing conservative to get second place. Because maybe Ollie's looked at the last few games and gone, you know what? We will pick up the points we need to get top four. I don't know. A lot of this will depend on next season. Anyway, look, thanks everyone for watching. Smash a like on the video and make sure you subscribe. Back again at around 2 o'clock with a preview for, well, it will be a preview for the Granada game, but also the latest news because there's so much coming out at the moment. 7 o'clock tonight because we're doing 8 o'clock Champions League watch-alongs. Lots to get involved in. Thanks for all your comments. Thanks everyone for getting involved. Bissouma, what a player, won't cost much thoughts. No, I think we'd all take Bissouma on it, definitely. Thanks everyone for watching. Speak to you in a bit.